This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Good to be back. We have a busy show today. We have Lars Anderson. Lars Anderson co-authored Bruce Arians' book, The Quarterback Whisperer, and while I was out, I saw a lot of pub around Coach pushing the book, which is what you do in the middle of summer. Really interesting, just the excerpts of it. I have not read it, start to finish, but Lars Anderson will be with us, The Quarterback Whisperer, some of the stories and some of the antidotes and how this all came together with Bruce Arians. Paula Bovin will be with us, news and notes, AZ Central sports columnist in the past, now professor at Arizona State, in case you have not been paying attention here the last few months. All right, so I was away. I mean, I completely decompressed. If you would have seen me, 2.5, 3 weeks ago, this would have been salt and pepper all the way through. And it was a painful, it looked like a skunk died in a couple spots. It just didn't work. It didn't work for me. This was kind of going some direction. I'm not quite sure. It was kind of going left, kind of going right, kind of going all over the place. I just kind of let myself go. That's what you do in the summer. And went and hiked Bryce Canyon, threw a line out in Lake Powell, caught a few things, couldn't get them in the boat, kept having fish that were spitting it out and flipping me off. I mean, you know how it is when you're out there and you're just getting away from it. Read a few things, got away from the sports. This is the time of year where there's a lot of stuff that is just filler. It's all it is. Like the worst of the worst of the worst is analyzing NBA Summer League. It's, I shouldn't say complete worst. The complete worst is preseason NFL football. That's the worst. And this was close. When I got back into the swing of things, it's not like you really ever get completely away from it. You know, you have people sending you stories. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I actually was in a couple spots where my phone didn't work, thank God, where I could just get away and recharge. But when you have people saying, what do you think of what is going on with Lonzo Ball and his shoes? It's summer. Hey, Lonzo Ball lit up. Boy, he was really bad his first game. Doesn't mean anything. Then the next game, he's really good. Really stunning, shocking, surprising. No, not at all. So it's the overreaction of summer, and which is fine. I know you guys are all excited. Well, Michael Fabiano starting back up with us tomorrow from the NFL Network. Michael joins us, talks fantasy football. Before you know it, we'll have Peter King doing our thing, and then we'll have Jimmy Vaccaro doing his thing, and we'll get all back into the pro football end of the stories. And then next week's Pac-12 Football Media Day. It gets going next week for Arizona State. Arizona State had something cool. Jordan, we've got some video of this, right? So ASU, so they put out this new video of their facilities, and the players are all excited, and they come in, and they take their pictures, and man, this looks so great. And look at all the amazing facilities at ASU, and people on social media are so excited. And of course, I sit there and say, this is great. I've seen facility redos at ASU before, and that works for, I don't know, it works for a few months. And then the games start, and then we'll just see if all this stuff matters. Like when Oregon was awful the last few years before they made the change with their coach, and I don't know if Willie Taggart's going to work out at Oregon, but stuff like this you would see out of Oregon in 2009, 2010. ASU had a couple of redos on their facilities. But it doesn't mean anything when you get into September and October and you're losing more than you are winning. So I have a demand here of teams to work well and play well and not just get by with glitz. Glitz does not sustain. Last time I saw Arizona State on a football field, it was November. There was not even a bowl game. The last time I saw Arizona State on a football field, U of A was not even throwing the ball. They were stuffing it right down their throats. The most humiliating way to get blown out by your rival is to have it stuffed right down your throats. On the other side of the street, we got invited. Eric and I were down in Tucson. Greg Byrne, when he was still there, and Rich Rod, and they showed us all their new facilities and how great it was a few years ago. And they even went to a postseason bowl game in the Fiesta Bowl. They played in the Fiesta Bowl. Everybody's all excited at the Fiesta Bowl. What has happened since? U of A has turned into clunk, clunk, clunk. And so when I get the, well, we took Washington to overtime. Yeah, and you still lost. And look what we did to Arizona State. Well, Arizona State didn't go to a bowl game. Yeah, but it's our rival. Yeah, but neither one of you went to a bowl game. So I'm really in the, when I got away from this and just took a step back and looked at everything and saw where everything is in our landscape for the coming football season, you know, sure, the Cardinals have an aging quarterback and they have an aging wide receiver, but the NFL does not have many certainties. We know for certain that New England will play in the Super Bowl next year because they always play in the Super Bowl, or almost always. We know that teams like Seattle are going to come in and push the Cardinals around, and the Cardinals are going to have to push back. We know that the Dallas Cowboys will get overhyped because they're the Dallas Cowboys. You know, that's the whole age we're living in. Let's throw something out cowboy-related when there's nothing going on, and we know we're going to get lots of people looking at our traffic, going to our website, reading our stuff, even though it doesn't mean jack. We're going to analyze Lonzo Ball's shoes because there's nothing going on in July. It's kind of crazy how that works. I don't know. I'm kind of into results, like Cody Bellinger hitting for the cycle, like Cody Bellinger being in the home run hitting contest, like Cody Bellinger being a local kid in Hamilton who's killing it this year on the baseball diamond. I don't need to have facilities to get me. I know for the fan base, at least some of the fans, there's others that are in my boat and I don't even have to explain my situation. I've got some family members, not tight family members. They're like distant. When I sit and visit with them and they'll say, so what do you think about the Cardinals this year? And I'll say, well, you know, you got an aging quarterback, you've got an aging wide receiver, and oh, man, you just take all the fun out of it. You know, they're going to be awesome. They're going to the Super Bowl. And I'm like, well, no, they're not, unless they buy a ticket. I mean, there's always a shot in the dark, but that's fandom. So it was good to get away from all the stuff and kind of press reset and see things like Roger Federer yesterday go out and do what sport is all about. Roger Federer is not going to wow you with his Twitter feed. Roger Federer is just going to go out and do what he's supposed to do, and that's just smoke everybody and win his eighth Wimbledon title. He's going to go out and take care of business. We need more people that go out and take care of business rather than try to impress you with their tweets and their followers. Doesn't mean that stuff's not important in this day of communication. Like the Suns went 2-4 in summer league. So what? So what? I mean, really, if any of you are basing the Suns' success for the coming year off of summer league, I would suggest you need to dig a little bit deeper. Summer league doesn't mean jack. A lot of these guys are going to be playing in the D League or playing overseas. No offense to them, but that's just the way it is. So I'm not going to get wound up if Dragan Bender doesn't go off in summer league, or if Marquise Chriss is still Marquise Chriss. What's he do? He gets in foul trouble. He makes some poor decisions. He argues with referees. He's got to show he's growing up. Devin Booker, last time I checked, didn't play 1 minute of summer league. So why is anybody judging the Suns' success or lack thereof around what their record was in summer league? I get it. You need something. I'll give you an example. It's like Phoenix Rising FC is unbeaten in six straight. We're going to have the MLS here in a couple of years, about a year and a half from now. And when that happens, the days of watching this team kind of blow through the tough dog days, like Saturday night, when it's a humid, rain-soaked night, fans are out there just miserable. But they're having a good time watching the team play, even though the conditions were not ideal. And they're unbeaten in six straight. And when they go into the MLS, it's like the Diamondbacks back in the day. I remember in 1996, 97, the anticipation towards the team, it was unbelievable. And when they had the expansion draft and they're taking guys like Brett Brady or Andy Bennis, and we're going to win 100 games. No, you're going to lose 100. That's what you're going to do. I know. I get it. You're excited. So I'm not going to go into the low-hanging fruit of going into Lonzo Ball's shoes at great length. It is very interesting, a case study. In a few minutes, I'm going to talk with Lars Anderson about Arian's book, The Quarterback Whisper. And I saw where Lars, he's a professor as well. I'm getting ready to teach at Cronkite this fall, and I'm putting together my syllabus, and most of it is about layoffs in our industry and people being blown out and the business side of what's going on in our industry. And like the Lonzo Ball shoe story is actually one of the more interesting business stories across all platforms, across all sports that I've seen in quite some time. You have a dad who's a carnival barker who is like Don King, and he's going to talk about this brand, and then his son's going to put on the brands of other shoes, and they're getting into a bidding war. And the kid's asked about it, and the kid's, all he can say is something like that. It's really interesting. It's really, really interesting because there's no question the kid can play. If you're not a Laker fan, then you hate on him and you're going to say he can't play, and you're wrong, okay? But the business side, that is something that transcends for everybody. I mean, it really does. All right, so we're going to take a break here. Lars Anderson is on the other side, the quarterback whisperer, Bruce Arians' book, the co-author of it. We'll talk with Lars. How did this project come to be? And what did he like most about this book? What did he learn from Bruce Arians? That is on the other side. Welcome back to you. It's good to be back. We are brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Your Valley Hyundai dealers, we appreciate their support. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, welcome back. Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We are on Fox Sports Arizona, our weekly football AZ show. Back at it, 16 airings this week and every week. With the Cardinals opening training camp this coming weekend, we thought it'd be the right time to have on senior writer at Bleacher Report, also co-authored The Quarterback Whisperer with Bruce Arians. Lars Anderson is with us for a few minutes about this book, putting it together here in the midst of summer. A lot of people getting out of Arizona. You're all coming back. School gets started next week. Time to start focusing on football, and a good time to have Lars with us. Lars, it's Brad Sussmat. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Lars, how did this come to be with Bruce Arians that the two of you decided to work on this? Did Bruce get in touch with you? Did you pitch him? Let's just go on that with The Quarterback Whisperer.
Yeah, about 3 years ago, Bruce's agent reached out to my literary agent, and I'd never met Bruce before. And I sort of come at this from a diverse background in that I'm more of a general assignment feature writer kind of guy who bounces around from sport to sport. That's why I did it. Sports Illustrated for 20 years, and now what I do at Bleacher Report. And Bruce invited me to come out to training camp and just begin a conversation to see if we could hit it off and see if we could work together. And so I shadowed him for a few days at training camp, and I got to say the most enjoyable part of that was about 9 o'clock every night up in the top floor of the hotel right across the street from the stadium.
Yep.
Bruce would hold court in his suite, and different coaches would come by. Steve Keim would come by, and Bruce, being the old-time bartender, would be behind the bar slinging drinks for everybody. And and sometimes the conversations would go to about 3 in the morning, and I would just have my tape recorder and my notepad and scribbling everything I was hearing. And it was a great introduction to Bruce. And I'll say that Steve, you know, I'd see Steve at about 6:30 the next morning, and he would sort of give me this knowing look, and he'd be like, "Hey, bro, you're going to be up at the suite tomorrow? You're going to be up there tonight? You're going to make it again?" And it was almost like this test of my manhood to see if I could make it back there after a few nights or a few hours of sleep. And I mean, those guys, they go at it pretty hard. They have a good time at training camp. But, you know, they work as hard as anyone, don't get me wrong. But that was sort of the beginning of our conversation. And then Bruce and I spent time together out at Reynolds Plantation, Georgia, where he lives in the off season, plays a lot of golf, and you know, just hours and hours of talking and then going over the manuscript, literally every word, and sort of at the last hour, we had to take stuff out because it was sort of decided as a group that it was too revealing. We had a lot of sort of X's and O's schematics of different plays that Bruce loves to run, and then we decided to take those out.
When did you know you had something? Was it that first night up in the bar and the way he's slinging drinks, as you like to put it? When did you know it was like, okay, I can do this project. I want to do this project.
Oh, it was right away. I quickly ascertained that Bruce is unlike any coach I've ever been around, not only in the NFL or football, but it goes for any sport. He is sort of unfiltered all the time, as everyone in Arizona knows, and it makes him a joy to be around. He's incapable of not being 100% brutally honest, and he's always been that way with me. And, you know, just him talking about getting kicked out of high school because he was boozing, getting a second chance at Virginia Tech And now that's a big reason why he's such a big believer in second chances. And when he was at Virginia Tech, probably the only starting quarterback in college football history who would go from playing a game on Saturday to being a bartender Saturday night, getting held up at gunpoint at being a bartender, getting fired all those times throughout college and the NFL, and what that was like to his personal life, to his daughter and son, and being on Bear Bryant's first staff. I mean, he's a gold mine. He's a literary gold mine.
Sure.
And I knew that right away.
The Quarterback Whisperer is the name of the book. Lars Anderson with us by Bruce Arians. Lars with us for a couple of minutes. When you talking X and O football with him, was it simple? And I mean this not in a way of questioning your football acumen, but sometimes I've found, Lars, that when you talk football with coaches, they can be way over your head. Simplicity with Bruce Arians, I think, is something that has always worked in covering him out here. Give me a thought on that.
Yeah, no, he would lose me in a sentence or two, but I view that as a strength because I come at it from the same perspective as most fans, as the people that we're trying to present this to. So I try to distill it in a very simple way, in a very understandable way, and I would question him and make him sort of break it down as football 101 for dummies. And even at that point, it's still like hard to understand the different concepts that go into different plays. But again, I tried to focus on the aspects of the book that people really can relate to, and that is the humanizing things about Bruce and how he became who he became and what were the forces that created that person that now is so entertaining to watch and who is beloved by his players. I think if you took a poll of all the NFL players and you asked them who's the coolest NFL head coach, Bruce would win that one in a landslide.
How about his health? In covering this, and now we've heard about his health scares. How about covering his health and when that came up?
Yeah, he was very honest about it. You know, we put in the book that he had cancer last year and former renal cancer, kidney cancer, and late last season. And he also had different health issues come up during the season. And he's 100% right now, and I know he's really looking forward to getting back and starting camp. But, he's very honest about that. And the fact that he has had these multiple cancer scares it makes him, and as we say this in the book, life is all about smelling the roses and relishing the small interactions in relationships. And that's really what's important. And I know he's going to try to do that this season. I think he can coach multiple seasons. If you guys ever play golf with him, the guy can hit the ball a country mile.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an incredible amount of stamina. He's strong as an ox. And hopefully the cancer now is all in the rearview mirror.
Before I let you go, what did you like most about this project? Was it a specific story? Was it just getting to know? What did you like most about this project?
I enjoyed just the peek behind the curtain of what life is like to be a coach and the demands on it and just again sort of having this guide take me to places where I never could have gone myself. And that's exactly what I try to do with the readers, is take them to places that Bruce has been, put them in the room with Bruce, have them looking over Bruce's shoulder as he is experiencing all of these things that only an NFL coach can experience. And also just spending time with Bruce. He is a terrific guy. I wouldn't have done this project if I didn't have these really warm feelings about Bruce. This is my eighth book. First time I've ever done a book with another person, and it was a very enjoyable, enriching experience. And I think that comes through in the copy.
Good stuff, Lars. Appreciate the time and the insight. Best of luck with the book and the sales of it. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Lars Anderson there with us, co-author, The Quarterback Whisperer by Bruce Arians, sports360az.com. Paula Bovin on the other side. Welcome back. We are back at it. We are brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Your Valley Hyundai dealers, we appreciate their support. News and notes now. Paula Bovin over at Cronkite, former AZ Central columnist, now on the job 3 months, getting it done. Over at ASU. You have a summer camp, did I see on your Twitter timeline today, going on?
Yeah, so for the next 2 weeks, I'm basically directing this high school sports broadcasting camp with 31 students from all over the country. And I'm having a, I guess you'd call it a staycation at Taylor Place, the dorm next door to Cronkite.
Oh, wow.
So I'm actually living there as well, just to kind of keep an eye on them. But it's been great. We had Berkovici in yesterday, and then we've got some cameramen, from, you know, Chris Peters, Brad Gass,
yep,
in town talking now, and they brought in Brandon McGee, a former ASU linebacker, but which was a surprise. So they're talking right now.
Dorm life, huh? I can only imagine.
Yeah.
You're not going back to your days at Illinois, are you? I mean, you're being good behavior, right?
That's right. I'm much more responsible than I ever was at Illinois.
Okay, so one other question, just media-wise, before we get into some stuff locally, and that is, do you tell these kids that, look, even though, I shouldn't say kids, these students, that even though Fox let go of their entire digital reporting team, writers, everybody in the last month, and ESPN has let go of 200 people and reportedly is going to let go of another 200 people before the year is out, and the New York Times got rid of 20 editors, it's still a great time to be in media. Do you talk to them about this stuff?
Oh, yeah. We talked about all of the changes just in the business. And these are ones that are here are broadcast students. But, I mean, we've talked about it. But I'm of the belief that, you know, the business is changing, but it's not going away. It's just going to look different. And I think it's still sort of figuring itself. It's still reinventing itself. But there is a place out there for good journalism. I just read this mind-blowing story this morning from the LA Times, if you haven't read it, about this USC dean of their, I think, medical school, that was participating in all these drug parties and he got exposed. I mean, there's so much good journalism out there, stories to report, even in the sports realm. It's going to look different. It's not maybe the journalism we knew, but there's a place for it. You know, don't get me going on these allegations of fake news. I mean, there's fake news, but there's a lot of really, really good reporting. So people are worried about the industry. I'm not. I just think it's going to look different.
So you're branching out of sports, right? I mean, you're kind of going full service now. Am I right in that, Paula?
What do you mean? As far as us? No, I mean, I'm.
I mean, you're in sports, but your eye is looking at things well beyond sports, and bringing it back to sports is probably the best way to put it, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that there are. I think there's the intersection of sports and everything else that maybe we haven't addressed so much as sports journalists that need to be covered. You know, I tell the story, and a lot of people saw the Will Smith movie about, you know, concussions and everything else. So Chris Nowitzki, this former Harvard football player who really was instrumental in getting awareness out there about concussions, pitched this story to dozens of sports writers he told me this a couple years ago, and none of them would bite. It took him to find an investigative reporter in news to bite on that story, and the Times wrote this big story. So I guess my point is that there are stories that are beyond the playing field I think we need to do a better job with, whether that is, it could be anything from entertainment to legal issues to, you know, I mean, the opioid crisis. I'm sure that can cover in the sports realm, too. There are so many stories out there where sports intersects with other parts of life, and I think those stories are going to be told more often and happen more often.
You mean Lonzo Ball, what shoe he's wearing is not... breaking journal.
You know,
it's a good business story. I'll give that. But
sure.
But for big media companies that are supposed to be into the content distribution to just focus on somebody's shoes and turn the NBA Summer League into nothing but 2 weeks of here's Lonzo and here's his dad. That just tells you all you need to know about the sewer pit that we're going into. And some days that we are in that space. Yeah.
No, it definitely delves into the sewer pit more than probably we'd like, but there are a lot of other good stories out there, too.
Locally, so the Hometown Nine's not good right now, and I was talking to Kendrick about this about 3 weeks ago. We had a nice long phone conversation, and he said, you know, yeah, this is great, this is fine, but we haven't seen how this team is going to react when they don't win games, when they go into a long losing skid. He's proving prophetic to it. Now, I guess the question to you is this thing going to implode or are they going to pull out of it?
You know, it's one I can't give a confident answer to other than I really kind of feel like this, what's coming up this week, the series with the Nationals this weekend, is huge, because some of the things that's happening, I mean, the clutch hitting, which was so great. Now you've got guys like Jake Lamb striking out left and right. Their inability to sort of come back from dealing with adversity, being down in a game. These are things they were doing great in the first half of the season. So what is different? Is it just some mental game that their minds are playing? Is it something physically that's happening with the team? Is it their opponent? I think those questions are about to get answered, but I'm not, believe me, the amount of losses and the way they've been losing, I think, has to be disheartening for a Diamondbacks fan. But I'm not convinced yet that this is defining the second half of the season. I think we're going to have a good idea here in a few weeks, because they kind of need to get out of this quagmire now. But I think for now, it's sort of a step back, and let's see what they do here in the next week or two.
The college football starts getting ramped up here. And really, Paula, because the teams were so bad at the end of last season, neither one went to a bowl game, it feels like it's been a long time. Pac-12 Media Day is next week. You covered ASU for how many years? How many years were you in press boxes?
20? You know, I don't.
15?
Yeah, I mean, on and off for 20 between beat and columns and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm sure, probably that long.
Are you having any withdrawals with the start of college football season getting going? You're used to doing this, and now you're not.
Yeah, you know, a little bit maybe, but the great thing is I can, ASU is nice enough, I can still go to ASU football game. You know, I can go up in the press box and sit. I just won't have to be freaking out at deadline. That is the one thing I don't miss. I mean, that was one of the hardest things I've ever covered with ASU football, especially writing a column on deadline, because these games are starting at 7:30,
eight,
and they're ending at 10:30, and then my column was due half an hour ago, So I don't miss that aspect at all. But I love the start of college football season and sort of that newfound, people excited about what the teams can do. I think a lot of questions in the Pac-12 that I'm really curious where a lot of these teams are going, especially the locals, ASU and U of A. I mean, this is a season-defining kind of thing for these coaches, I think, in their futures, both of them.
I think reset is going to be pushed on Todd, from my view, either way. Mm-hmm. Either they win 5 or 6 and it's pretty easy, they make a change, or they win 8 or 9 and he's going to make a change. That's how I see this playing out this year. What about you?
Well, now that ASU's got those new, I'm curious how these new facilities are going to impact things. And I know that sounds weird, but, if they can be successful, and now with these new facilities, I mean, are you suggesting if Todd wins a lot, he'll go somewhere else?
Yes. Yes. I firmly believe.
What he's got here now?
I firmly believe that if he wins 8 or 9, he knows things have run their course here. That's my view. I don't see any middle ground on this deal. If he wins 5 or 6 and they lose the U of A, he's gone. If he wins 8 or 9, he's going to have some other jobs, and the shelf life of coaches in the Pac-12 usually is not that long. Even with some new locker rooms and facilities, Paula, when they didn't extend him this last year, to me, even though he didn't deserve an extension, to a proud man like Todd Graham, that's kind of sending the message. So he'd be smart.
Yeah.
He would not be smart in just sitting back saying, I'm not going to investigate anything else going on out there. No, you should. The same thing with Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M. Kevin Sumlin comes to Tempe quite a bit, from my understanding. And he's in the same boat as Todd, I think.
Right.
So.
Well, no, I mean, and you bring up a good point, and I think to add to that, I'd never sense that the relationship with he and
Ray,
ASU's their athletic director, was, on solid ground. I think, both are strong men with strong opinions. I think, as it's been well documented, and Todd will admit it, I think he's a hard guy to work for sometimes, especially when things aren't going well, and so... I think that sort of adds to the intrigue. I don't know if I agree with you, though, if they're successful. I know a lot of the things that happened, Todd has had his stamp on some of the facility changes and the things that they've added there. It's not the easiest job here, but it's not a bad job at ASU. So I'll be curious to see where it goes. But, the stuff about the contract you're saying makes a lot of sense. So we'll see.
All right. No microwave popcorn this week for you. What else dorm-wise? Jello shots? I mean, you can't do any of that stuff, Paula.
Come on. Yeah, absolutely.
Come on, you don't do any of that stuff.
I got to be on the best behavior here, Brad.
See you later. Thanks.
Okay, good talking.
You too. There's Paula Bovin at Cronkite. Far be it from me to suggest that Jello shots have anything to do with college life. I would not know this. I would have no idea. But if she's moved into the dorms for a week, you know, microwave popcorn, that's a staple, right? You can smell it being burned a mile away. That's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Ramen out of a cup. That's all you got left, you know? There's a few other things in my mind we'll get to on the other side, things here locally. Reminder, our television show is on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings a week, fresh show this week. With the opening of Cardinals training camp this weekend, there'll be a lot on that. Plus, Jordan Hamm in Portland for a big event up there involving Nike and top high school players here in the state. A lot of recruiting news with Jordan and our AZ Audibles with Eric and Haley as well. Back with more after this timeout, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Welcome back. We are brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Appreciate their support. All right, the hometown nine is not good right now. They do not play today. They're in Cincinnati, actually, but they're sitting off to the side. The Reds have a game today. The Diamondbacks get started tomorrow night. They lose Randall Delgado. They put him on the DL with elbow inflammation. Here's the thing. And I mentioned this to Paula about the owner's view on this. And a lot of you just don't care about where ownership is on this deal. You know about the stadium and how they would like to get a new situation. That's been put off to the side this year with the team winning on the field. If we're just talking on the field, Jake Lamb started sliding right before the All-Star break. He started sliding, and he's not come back. Guy like Zach Godley yesterday got whacked around pretty darn good. Zach Godley's been good for half of a season, but there's a reason why Zach Godley is not your one, your two, your three. Okay. Are you in a space where you can afford to go out and make a move? Do you have to make a move? Like the Cubs went out and made an enormous move to bolster their pitching staff this last week, and they're chasing down the Diamondbacks for the wild card spot. That's what's interesting about Mike Hazen. Mike Hazen has not gotten a whole lot of run, the general manager of the Diamondbacks, during this first half of the season. It's all been about managing what Lovello's done, players on the field. But there comes a point in time where it falls on the shoulders of the organization at the general manager level and even the ownership level. And I throw Derek Hall in that too. So Derek Hall and Ken Kendrick have to sit there as the GM comes to them and says, we need to add this. Because the way that it works with this baseball franchise, that's how they go about their business. A general manager, whether it's the current one or the ones in the past under this ownership group, have to go to the ownership group. Follow me on this one. Have to go to the ownership group and give the reasons and rationale why they want to make a move, add payroll. It's not like they can just go do something for the sake of doing it. I think there's been regimes in the past here that have come in without any plan and sat in front of ownership and said, we need to do this. And they would say, why? Sometimes I believe the answer is just go ahead. We don't even need an explanation. But I do believe with this ownership group, you've got to have an explanation as to what you're going to do. Maybe in some people's views, that's the wrong way to go about it, that you should have total autonomy. I don't believe that exists in many sports franchises in this day and age. The amount of money owners are putting into it, most owners want to have a say. I don't know how big of a say that this group has with their current GM, but I know it's not just as simple as, oh yeah, I expensed that lunch today and I'm not going to run it by you. It's not that simple. So to that point, there's not really been a major move made by this franchise. If you look at what they've done since the GM came in, he's added some smart players, some good role players on the bench. He made the move of Gene Segura, which has ended up being the most significant piece in Taijuan Walker being brought into the starting rotation. But I can't say looking around the rest of this team that there's been a move that, wow, this is really sending a big statement that they are going for this year. And I am one of those that believes within a clubhouse, within a locker room, you do have to have those ebbs and flows. When things aren't working right, upstairs has to take a look at it and say, we are in this space 2 weeks before the trade deadline, and we need to do something here. We need to address our flaws. And that can, in fact, send a very strong message to the rest of the group. Hey, they've got our back. Let's work through this tough period of time. That leads me back to the conversation that I had with Kendrick about, yeah, it'll be interesting from his view, how we handle a losing streak, because it was coming inevitably. And now we're here in the midst of it. And it's not the worst time. It's not like there's a great time to go through a losing streak. I get that. But where they are here on July 17th, it's as simple as, okay, you've hit the rough patch. Let's push through this. Is part of the reason this rough patch has gone on that Greinke hasn't thrown yet? Greinke was in the All-Star game. Let's not forget that. Great you're in the All-Star game. Great you pitch in the All-Star game. Haven't seen him on the mound yet. Need to have him back. And he's the type of guy that can stop a streak, right? And then you start, you push reset and you get going again. So they're on the road at Cincinnati starting tomorrow. So that means tonight I've got the Summer League Championship game to look forward to. I can watch Portland and the Lakers. And I don't know if Lonzo's going to play or not, but I know I'm going to get so much Lonzo stuffed down my throat and LaVar stuffed down my throat for two straight hours that it's just turning me off. And those of you that have watched this show, or if you've just found me, I was on him last October, November about he's great, he's fun, Sun should get him, this and that and the other. Like watching Josh Jackson for the Suns at Summer League, I get it. You're excited. You're a younger fan. I've just seen this stuff. It doesn't mean jack how a guy plays in Las Vegas in the Summer League. It doesn't mean jack. The guy across from him could have been out partying his ass off till 5 in the morning in Vegas. I don't know. So you don't get too high or too low off a 2-4 run for the Suns in Summer League. But really, that's what I got tonight. There's no Diamondbacks. Summer League basketball with a bunch of dudes? It's got to be The Ranch on Netflix. Sorry. I'm not a Game of Thrones, guys. I mean, you can get on me about that. The Ranch is where I'm at. Ashton Kutcher. It's very good. All right, we're done. Our business here is done. We were helped out along the way today by Jared Nielsen, our chairman of the board. It's good to see Jared back. Jordan Hamm in for Eric today. He didn't screw up. Justin Toscano was a senior executive vice president of nothing today. He sat off to the side, watched me do my thing. We have plenty of content up on the website you can check out at sports360az.com. We appreciate our partnership with AZ Central. Well, we want to thank our sponsors. Guys, if you're watching this stream of this show and you see people pop up, please support them. Without their support, we're not here. We're self-funded. We just do this every day. We've been doing it for almost 6 years through people helping us out. That's what being self-funded is all about. Enjoy your day. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.